Good afternoon. Welcome back to the studio. Let's just reintroduce everyone here. We've got a packed show, in fact. Of course, Alexander McNabb, director at Spot On PR. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Enjoying himself very much there in the corner. We have been talking about food blogs, writing online, all sorts of various different things in the studio. And let's just reintroduce everyone. Francine Spearing, who's with us. She writes Life in the Food Lane. Good afternoon, Francine.
Hello.
Next to Francine, we have Dima Sharif, who is the DimaSharif.com is a dedicated instructor and demonstrator of food. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Next to Dima is Sarah Walton, who writes The Hedonista. We've said goodbye to Samantha Wood, who is from Foodiva as well. But ladies, good that you're staying with us. Now, we've just been eating some wonderful food, actually, during the break, which was brought to us by Sarah and also by Dima. Wonderful salad. So, I mean, why do you enjoy cooking? What does it bring you?
Do you know what? I think I have to cook anyway because I have a family. And it's something you've got to do every day. So you may as well just get into it.
Have you always enjoyed it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more to do with the eating for me than the cooking.
We share that one.
Exactly. I know. There aren't a lot of thin food bloggers out there, are there? Mm. Samantha's one.
I was going to say Samantha.
Yeah. I think I go out and I eat out, and then I taste these things in restaurants. And I've worked in restaurants as well, so I've watched them make them. And I get home and think, oh, yeah, I can do that. Mm. I can make that. I know what to do to make this taste a bit better now. And so,
Why is it then that so much food that we eat out doesn't taste good?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, on precisely that point, one of my issues with going out, which I've stopped doing in Dubai, I just refuse to do it now, is I'm eating food I can cook myself.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Better.
Not being big-headed, but I can cook it as well, yeah. If not better. And I'm paying.
The bill for two
pays for all the food and drink for a dinner party for six.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a no-brainer.
Mind you, were you a great cook 10 years ago as well? Yeah, maybe it's or maybe I should say 15 years ago. Maybe it's been your experience in restaurants and the other things that you've been doing, you know, writing your food magazine and so on, that have brought you to this position.
But that's also part of where you guys are at. You're all experienced in food. You know, you've all got experience. And it's hard to see where the value is because it's outrageously expensive.
It is.
You know, there isn't the innovation, except Reflet. I can't cook like him.
I think most of the time, personally, I would go out not for the food, unless we go to some of the restaurants we've mentioned already, which are, you know, the really top, wonderful restaurants that you go for the food. Most of the time, you go out for the social side of it. You go out because you don't want to cook, because you're bored of cooking all week. Yeah. You know, you want to go out and go out with friends. And it's nice. I think it can be a wonderful social evening where you go out and you eat with friends. But it's certainly not a lot most of the time for the food.
No, and you're right. Alex is exactly right. There isn't a lot of innovation here. We get a lot of the same thing again and again and again.
And it's also an industrial scale operation all the time. It's not as if you're, you know, again, you haven't got a restaurateur who cares about his small restaurant and who's doing something because he loves it. You know, there are no bullies here.
I also think that in Dubai, because it's all about the big names and making them even bigger, and it's all about being the best. You're always in this constant run. And I think that with food, it's not like that. It's actually, you have to be in it for the passion, and when you're passionate, that reflects in your food in a way that when people come and they eat your food, the whole experience, like again, talking about training the staff, if you're passionate and you want the message across, you really want it, then people will know about it. But here in Dubai, it's all like an industrial run of let's do this, let's finish tonight, tomorrow we have this, and let's finish tomorrow. And
so is it almost impossible then to conceive of there being value in creating a differentiated brand that does care? You know, if you're creating food that you care about, that is innovative, are you going to stand out in an environment like this where people just want to go out for that industrial scale dinner and be glitz and glam?
I think so. I'll tell you, because I think that we have a need in the market for smaller scale businesses where it feels cozy.
Yeah.
Like the next Italian place in some street in Italy, a family business. And like a small boulangerie in France, something like that. The very small boutique style. Food or eateries where you can just go and smell it from a mile away. I think we need that.
Yeah. And it, as we said, it's proven that they do they do work. Okay, the two, again, we keep going back to them, are owned by a big company, and they're not, they, you know, they're not just sort of individually owned. I think it's probably a big struggle actually for individually owned restaurants here. Mm-hmm. There are some, I think, around Souk, and obviously there are the unlicensed ones, which are oftentimes have great food actually.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I was allowed to mention that. I think that's got a lot to do with the smaller restaurants not opening up, because there are a lot of chefs out there, particularly Western chefs, who simply will not open a restaurant where they can't serve grape.
It has to be a decisive factor there, because the two do go hand in hand for that level of dining.
Yes, they do, unfortunately. But let's move on. Let's be positive about the food world here, because there are some wonderful places, and you know, let's not forget that. There are some great places, I think, also now, thankfully, to buy ingredients, which are really coming up. Mm-hmm. And that, I suppose, brings us a little bit to the slow food movement, which I know that, Francine, you were sort of just talking about. Did you just come back from Italy?
It was a week in Italy, yes.
Yeah. And that's really very much what it's all about. It's not just about eating slowly, of course. It's about where the ingredients are sourced from.
It's a way of life. Yeah. It's a mentality. It's literally what they're trying to do, or doing. They're not trying to do it. They're doing it. Is linking the pleasures of eating with responsibility for the future, for your food future. And in fact, it's when I look at the pictures that I see from International Fine Food Festival that was recently, I didn't go because it was at the same time that I was.
I heard it
in
was great, Turin. Actually.
Thereafter, the same thing. It's the same mentality. It's what should you eat? Be conscious about the choices that you make, the foods that you buy, and the foods that you cook yourself, because you put it in yourself. Mm-hmm. But also, you have a responsibility to the future of food, to sustainability, and that's what slow food is. But the main thing that slow food is absolutely stunning good food.
Enjoying
I'm
it.
Actually quality. So jealous of that week in Italy, because I don't think I'll ever forget the tomatoes of Florence, which are just ridiculous tomatoes. I don't know how you do that to a tomato, and yet we get these these horrible things that have spent 3 months in a container being matured in gas.
Fed, they've been flown across the world. They come here frozen.
Is that one of the challenges here? You know, is it hard for chefs to get the great ingredients we know that make great cookery?
Oh, it has to be. Yeah. It has to be. There is no land to grow that kind of quality produce here. It would have to be in greenhouse. It would have to be.
Well, there is land, and there are farms.
Well, the land is there.
Yeah,
it's the climate. The climate is kind of different.
Yeah,
But it's also a mentality. I think you would want to have that. Mm. One thing that slow food also insists on in their motto is it's what they call it: good, clean, fair. What it stands for is the choices that you make. Good is regional. It's authentic. It's quality produce, the decisions you make yourself. The clean is the way it is produced. Small farmers, small producers with responsibility for the land, for the environment.
We're talking organic.
Not always,
not
I say. Suppose.
It can be, you know, sustainability is not always organic or organic.
Not mass produced or mass.
I'm also an ecologist, so I wouldn't really. But the one thing also, the third one is the fair. It's the fair prices, the prices that you pay as a consumer.
So you pay direct to the,
well,
there's
it
no
has
sort
to be
of
fair.
Big
it's
middleman.
The moment that it becomes a very expensive commodity, organic is an exclusive. It's a gourmet thing that's not available to everybody. How is that going to help your sustainable food future? It has to be an affordable level. That's also what slow food stands for.
It's part of the whole sort of mantra, non-processed.
Non-processed, for sure, yes.
And so what did you do this week? Was it actually a festival that happened?
What did I do?
make us all jealous.
How can I say this on radio?
I ate and drank myself silly, I confess.
<that's> Definitely, there's the confession. It is... The Salone del Gusto is the food fair. It's Slow Food's international food fair. It's a biannual festival. Takes place every 2 years.
There's time yet then, Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
Live
it's
broadcast from
another,
the Slow Food.
Another 2 years.
Oh, okay. You're paying, I'm going.
Let's pencil it in now, shall we?
Yeah, that's tech, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely technology. Slow food and technology. We'll work an angle.
And that represents Italy from the tip of the toe to the crown of the Alps. All the foods produced In the sustainable way that I was talking about, the small producers. One thing, for instance, that they have is this called the cheese resistance. It is it's a fair trade buying group. So all the small farmers, small shepherds that make their own cheeses, artisanal cheeses that wouldn't probably make it to the market, they buy them up once a month. They will buy from different buyers, and then they come onto the market. It's things I think could happen here as well.
Well, I'm wondering, that's what I'm just thinking. I mean, could it be replicated? I remember once I actually went a couple of years back to the Cork Film Festival.
The what?
Now, Cork in the south of Ireland, It was a film festival, and they had, which I thought was a wonderful idea, and I was going to try and see if we could do it here, but they had a sort of film and food, and I think there was something I saw on your website about that. Was it your website? I saw it somewhere else. It was about food and film, and there was the Slow Food Movement were at one of the venues, and basically all the venues were around this the sort of city of Cork, which is lovely. I mean, it was really old, you know, the sort of flip chair cinemas, and I went to one of them, and it was, I don't know if you've ever seen the film Babette's Feast, which is a really old black and white, I think it's, I can't remember who it's directed by actually now, but it's all basically about Google it, it's all about creating this incredible feast, so it's all about food. And so then it was accompanied by, so you went in and the Slow Food Movement was there, and they spoke to you about the food, and they gave you a little parcel as you walked in, which had some wonderful sort of handmade cheeses from Ireland and breads, and it was like little snacks basically, and a glass of something delicious. And so you just sat there and watched the film with your little parcel. And I just thought it was a wonderful accompaniment there's so many films out there, like Chocolat, all you want to do is go and eat chocolate. I just thought, you know, you could do these really great sort of accompaniments with food. But that was the first time I'd really heard about the Slow Food Movement, and I think they had this was in Ireland, I'm not sure if there's still a movement there or whatever, but I think
it was established in 89, and it was literally to set off against fast food. The one who founded it, I think his name is Petrini, but I would have to look that up. He was appalled by the fact that there was a McDonald's opening on the Spanish Steps in Rome. He says, here and no further. We need to think about our food and where we're going with this. I think in your latest post you mentioned home about cooking, quality of food. Take time to eat.
Raising
enjoy
awareness
your
to what
food.
You eat.